still WBA super welterweight champion of the world, El Boricua de Puerto Rico, Miguel Angel.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Socially Connected 360. I got my main man in the house, former local boxer, my good friend, my brother. We play basketball a lot. Irving Torres is in the house. What's up, brother? How you doing? I know we're going to start this series, this boxing conversation series that we've been talking about for a while. I'm excited to have you on, man. You're knowledgeable. You boxed for a long time. We got some great fights we're going to talk about. How you been, brother? How's everything going?
I'm doing pretty good, brother. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk this boxing talk, man.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm digging the beard, bro. What's up?
Thank you, man. I'm trying to grow it out. You know, how's it looking?
It looks pretty good, man. You're looking like what's his name? not Money Mayweather. Well, he was wearing his beard too for a little bit, man.
Yeah, beard back on. I like you with the beard too. You know, you gotta afford it.
Yeah, well, you know, I got that government job, so.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Yeah. So, what's up, man? So let's before we get into this, before we get into obviously talking about the latest matches that just happened, we'll talk a little bit about them, and then some of the future fights. This is a big summer for boxing. A lot of good fights coming up. But I want the folks to know who you are. Obviously, you were really huge in the boxing scene here locally. You did a couple, golden gloves and things like that. Helped train some young fighters. So tell us a little bit about that, man. How'd you get into boxing?
Yeah, I started boxing at an early age, around eight. I was 8 years old when my dad first took me into the boxing gym in Puerto Rico. Fought a few fights there, left boxing for a while when we moved back to the U.S. And then I started boxing around 20, 21. So I was an older amateur, mm-hmm. but we kept boxing relevant in our family. So, I started boxing with Luis Melendez in Allentown Boxing Gym. And it was great. It was great. Did a few amateur fights there and met a lot of cool people, a lot of future world champs. I like to say that, keep it positive, because there is many boxers that have the skill set to become world champions locally. So and then stopped boxing due to some priorities in life, school, work, and whatnot. But we still keep boxing relevant in our family. As the people know, we still keep boxing relevant. We come to each other's houses, watch the latest boxing matches. And so we're here now speaking about it. I remember
I was bodybuilding. My memory with you, obviously, we got a lot because we're family. We're basically family. But memory with you is I was bodybuilding. I came back from the military. I was doing a bodybuilding show. And at the same time, you were doing the Golden Gloves at the Allen. Was it the Allen? What was it?
Sports Fest.
Yeah. My dad. I remember my dad just like, you know, like rooting you all. He was like, you know, when Rocky was watching Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
That was my dad in the stands. Yeah. He was like, he was hitting the tees. Like, come on, Irvin. You know.
Yeah.
But I remember that, man. I remember sparring you. Very briefly, in your dad's basement, you were showing me some stuff, and you put the headgear on, man. And I'll tell you what, I tell people all the time, man. You know, boxing is one of the most, in my opinion, underrated sports. I mean, you're in there, you're gonna be, you're by yourself in this ring. It's you versus this other person, and you are by, like, there's nobody going to come and save you. Like, they could throw in the towel, you could quit, but it is such, I have so much respect for all of you who decided to get in there. I mean, I remember the reason I'm saying this is because when I was sparring you, and I sparred a guy, a Marine in the Navy too, I remember wearing the headgear and just being tapped at 50%. and my brain, unless you've been hit, you know, obviously consistently, and you do a lot of sparring and boxing, man, that it hurts even with the headgear. So much respect, man. Wonderful memories. Of course, like you said, we keep it relevant when it comes. Sure. I remember my dad, you and I, we used to watch Tito Trinidad. It was, your dad used to come over. It was just great. But yeah, man. So training. So, tell us a little bit about that. You said you started training with Luis Melendez. That gym, was that the gym over by where the bank used to be, or?
Yeah. Where the bank used to be. That was, it didn't start there. There was a gym before that, a few blocks away. And I don't want to butcher the address, but for those who remember, it was where the new apartments, the loft apartements, are at now on American Parkway.
Yeah, right before the bridge.
Right. So it was there, and then they opened a new gym later, where the bank was at. So we were there for a few years. And it was awesome. I really missed the gym. Started training there with Luis Melendez.
Shout out.
Great trainer. Also, Nelson Perez was another assistant coach there. Paul Pinnock. All guys were very knowledgeable about boxing and really helped us. Everybody had a great time learning from those guys. So shout out to those guys if they're still around training. I haven't spoken to them in a while, but I got to get with them pretty soon. So
time goes by. Of course, COVID-19. I remember when you were helping me with you helped me with a couple videos when we was Martino. We did a video for Martino. Right. So I appreciate your help with that. I know we're gonna get back in there and try to help Indio out. Indio's gym.
Shout out to Indio as well. Indio is always around too.
So yeah, I was gonna mention that. I was going to ask you about that. So the local boxing scene. So folks that are really, either they want their child to get into boxing or they want to get into boxing themselves, even if it's for recreation or for working out. I mean, you would know a little bit about the boxing scene here. And then obviously some of the fighters, man. So what's up with that?
Yeah. The boxing scene has always been pretty big here, pretty relevant in Allentown. Had a lot of skilled fighters. To name a few, Jerome Rodriguez, Hector Bayanilla, Tyrone Arzeno, Juan Sanchez, Gil Orlang Jr. A couple guys that were that were pretty good. A lot of them were elite amateurs, Martino Jules, who's undefeated right now. Great boxer. The list goes on. If I'm missing a few of you guys, I'm sorry. It was just the top of the head people that I remember, but those were the guys that that put Allentown on the map, shout out to those guys. I hope they're doing well, and blessings to y'all.
Yeah, man. They just had Torres had a fight. Indio had a couple fights. Their fighters just won down in Florida. I think Martino fights, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend on Showtime.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, these guys, they fight in top rank, in Vegas. And so, to be able to come out of here, this, like I said, Lehigh Valley is known for three things: wrestling, boxing, and basketball. You know what I'm saying? So you got a lot of folks either making it in those three respected arts. So, yeah, man. So shout out to them. Shout out to the Adornos, too. I know they got a boxing gym. I know Bethlehem, Indio still has his gym open. And again, they're still putting out. And I think it's important. I mean, a lot of kids that would have gotten in trouble because of boxing or because of sport, they were able to occupy their time. And some of them actually turn it into something great.
Right.
Yeah. So
I agree. Yeah. Boxing trainers to help these kids that are troubled and they don't have a future for them to take them in, a lot of them as a father and son relationship, and dedicate their time into building, you know, great amateurs and most likely great professional boxers. You know, it's a great thing, and we always appreciated that. And love them for that as well.
Yeah, for sure. So just a little secret, everybody that's watching this episode, myself and Irving, we're in talks right now to be in studio, my first guest in studio, and actually not even my guest. He's going to be my co-host, or I'll be his co-host, because he knows a lot about boxing. So just give you a little sneak peek. We'll probably be doing some lives on in studio talking about boxing, maybe some recaps and maybe some pre-shows. We're thinking about, you know, we're going to draw something up and see how we can do this. You know, just like there's many folks out there trying to do this. So we just want to give our perspective. We love this sport. We love boxing. And with that, you know, we want to talk about some previous fights, man. So, you know, of course, many folks. Yeah, exactly. He's ready. Many fights that in my opinion, kind of because of not having the crowds, like when you're watching them, man, imagine if they had the crowds, how would it have been? You know, could it have went the other way? You know, because I wanted to ask you that before we get into this. So what is the crowd? Does the crowd do anything when it comes to boxing? Because I know in basketball, it kind of does. But if you give us a little insight before we get into that, because of COVID-19.
Definitely. The crowd, to many boxers, is everything that they have. Yeah. The crowd plays a critical part in whether, you know, you're losing and you and the crowd gets you back into it, and you need that energy to transfer into your skill, into whatever's happening in that ring. So the crowd definitely plays a part in the outcome of the fight.
Yeah, and the reason I brought that up is because the first fight we're gonna talk about, the Tail versus Loma fight. I'm not saying he lost that fight because of that, but when I remember watching the fight and I'm like, this doesn't even feel right. It was so quiet. What are your thoughts on that, man? What do you think? Do you think Loma just came on an off day, or what do you think on that?
You know, there's a lot of speculation. I mean, I just saw a segment on ESPN where, you know, he mentioned that he hurt his shoulder or his arm, but I think when it came down to it, I think Teofimo had the right game plan. And I say this.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I said this right after the fight. He had the, I don't think he's more skilled than Lomachenko, but I think he came out with the right game plan and he executed it. Loma, I think, he came in with the wrong game plan. You know, he started boxing. He started throwing punches in the seventh round. So I think, you know, and he probably won those last rounds, the second half of the fight. But, you know, when you come into an undisputed match like that, you have to fight from the start of the bell, you know. And if he didn't start fighting from round one, you know, how can anybody expect to be, you know, undisputed? That's, you know, true. So... Yeah, so congrats to Teofimo. He came in and did what he had to do, and that's that. But I'd love to see the rematch.
Yeah. And this is the thing. So, and I agree with you. I think we talked about this. You know, I think Loma, in his game plan, he's kind of like Mayweather. He likes to take people into deep waters. But you fail to understand that this kid was so hungry that I guarantee you he was training for them deep waters. I'm pretty sure he was doing 20, 25 rounds just trying to get ready because that's what people know, that that's what Loma's about. You know, he want to take you to those deep waters and make you quit. And when he got to that ninth round and he was still there, I think Loma was a little bit shocked.
Right. I think so. They both came in well prepared, but I think one executed a better game plan. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be a different outcome in the rematch, a different story. But let's hope that we see that rematch, right?
Yeah, some people be like, yeah, right, the FOMO destroyer. Yeah. But hey, boxing, like, you know, we're gonna talk about a couple fights that we didn't even think were gonna be this way. But hey, that's boxing, man. You just never know.
That's boxing.
What happened? Yeah. Right. So jumping into that, you know, a lot of people talking about this next fight that we talked about. It was a nasty KO that they were talking about Davis Tank and why he took this fight, you know, versus Leo. What do you think about that? I got mad respect for Leo for taking that fight, but what do you think about
that? Yeah. Mad respect for Leo Santa Cruz. He came in there. You know what? He was winning the fight until he got KO'd. And but I think that Tank kind of knew it. He was just walking them down. He wanted to give the people what they came to see, you know, and sometimes, you know, you got to sacrifice. There's a trade-off. And if it means, you know, take a few punches for this many rounds to then get the KO, then that's what it is. And that's exactly what happened. It was a devastating KO, man. I felt bad for Santa Cruz. I was actually worried for him, but turned out he's okay. So mad respect to both of them. Yeah, Tank is a future of boxing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, he kind of knows it too, but he kind of reminds me of you, like when he's fighting,
nah, just walking people down.
You walking people down, man. You be walking people down to the basketball court. You walk people down to the ring.
Oh, man.
But like he's just walking through the punches. I was watching it because I was looking at the list that we were going to talk about today. So I was watching some of the fights, just the highlights and the decisions and all that stuff. And you could see it. He was getting tagged. Pop, pop, pop. Like, and I'm like, damn, he was getting him. Yep. And then, but you could see, like, he's just walking through. He even, like, pushed his glove down when Leo was trying to, you know, block the punches or whatever. And then he just called him. Yeah. And you know what's cool? Like, the thing about Leo is that he got up and he was still smiling. When I saw him smile, I was like, hey, he's all right. And he just showed him respect. He's such a professional, man. So.
Yeah, humble spirit. But I love watching Leo Santa Cruz.
Yeah, man. So jumping into that, one of our fellow Boricuas, Danny Swift Garcia versus Spence. We kind of knew the outcome was going to be on that, but we didn't know because of Spence and the accident. What was your take? I can give you mine when you're done, but what was your take on Spence?
I think Spence did awesome. I mean, he did amazing. He came back. Nobody really knew how he was going to, if he was still there after that accident, but he came back and he proved to everybody that he's still dominant and he's still willing to take on the biggest and baddest and the most dangerous guy out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was kind of disappointed with Danny Garcia. I think he should have thrown a little bit or a lot more punches, to say the least. And you kind of saw that towards the end of the fight where he kind of let loose. And everybody was like, damn, man, you should have done that. You know? Yeah. So, it was kind of disappointing. That was a little disappointing. But, hey, man, sometimes that's how boxing, you know, that's how boxing is, you know. And I'm glad to see Errol Spence back. And, yeah. And he has a big fight coming up, too. So we're going to talk about that.
I saw Spence as skinny. I was like, damn, que flaco. Yeah. Like, but to be able to go through what he went through and then come back that quickly, shout out to him. And then now, obviously, he's got that big fight coming up. We're going to talk about it a little later in the episode. But so let's just jump right into a fight we just saw. I was not impressed. I was like, they're going to talk about him being overrated. But we talked about a little secret. Well, I don't even think we're going to reveal it today. But Charlo versus Montiel, it came to a decision. What was your thought on Charlo, man?
Oh, man.
Which Charlo was this?
So it was Jermall Charlo. The 160-pounder, the bigger one. You know what? It was, when you look at the numbers, it was a dominant fight. It was unanimous. You know, he basically beat him, I think, 10 or 11 rounds. I saw some vulnerability. I saw both of them got hurt. You know, I mean, he hurt Montiel a few times, and Montiel hurt him. And that kind of, you know, makes me think, is he really ready to step up? Is he really ready to go up to 168 and face the monster, face, you know, the pound for pound king? I don't know about that. I think he might have to, you know, stay at 160 and face the likes of, I don't know, Bubu Andrade or one of those other guys. But we'll see. I saw him vulnerable, and I didn't like that. But I kind of liked it because, you know, he let loose and he kind of gave the fans, you know, that toe-to-toe action that we want to see. But as far as taking big shots from bigger guys, I don't know about that. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. He's calling out Canelo.
Yeah.
That's to me is the equivalent of Jake Paul calling out. No, it's not. So like I said, man, I was not impressed because what's his name? He got knocked out by somebody that doesn't even, you know, that wasn't even the same level as Charlo. So, but either way, he got the win. That's a good 12 pro rounds. Got some solid hits, and you know, he could have got stronger. Now, who knows? That's the thing about, again, that's why boxing. You know, I tell guys all the time. I mean, I didn't box like, you know, I box on the side, just training on my own. But when you're training, and even if you go through those 8, 10, 12 pro rounds, that within itself is training. So you're getting used to being in there. You're getting stronger. So shout out to him. All right. So I just want to say thank you to our sponsor for the show, Power Up Nutrition, man. Just real quick. You can find them up on powerupnutritiononline.com. It's our sponsor for this episode. Any supplements you need, if they're local, please, let's shop local. They're sponsoring our show, so thank you to them. You know, obviously, I do a lot of working out, so I use Power Up Nutrition on my end just to recover a little bit. Obviously, I drink a lot of water, eat clean, all that other stuff, but thank you to them. Shout out to them. So let's jump into this heavyweight division just briefly. I know there's a big, big fight coming up, but the Ruiz versus Areola fight, bro, I was shocked. I was shocked.
That was another shocker. You would think that Ruiz losing all that weight and coming back would look better than he had before, but turned out, you know, it was a subpar performance. You know, they both have the same style, and it was just a clash. And, you know, I thought it was exciting, but, I think they're not on the level of the other guys, you know, Wilder, Joshua, King Kong and all those other guys. I think they're a level under them, and, you know, we'll see what happens with those guys.
Yeah. And again, we all saw what happened with, when Ruiz won the title and then the rematch.
Yeah.
He looked good still in that rematch.
He did.
I think, I don't know what money plays, stardom. I don't know what that all plays in the psyche of a fighter or even a professional athlete. I know when you're at the bottom or you think you're at the bottom and you're not making a lot of money, I mean, that desire to go train and do the extra stuff. So I'm not saying it was that, but not impressed. I thought he was going to take Areola out. Like, I haven't seen Areola fight that good in a long time.
Long time, yeah. But I think it was the weight. I think his body, you know, most people think I lost all this weight. And I'm talking because of experience. Because when I used to cut 20, 25 pounds,
yeah,
I would think going into there, I'm the bigger guy. And, you know, I have all this. No, your body needs a long time to adjust, especially at that level. So I think the weight played a big part in how the fight went. But I don't know. We'll see. We have to see another fight to see how, you know, how he performs.
Yeah. So the next fight, I'm so happy that this man won because I'm a big fan of Nonito.
Oh yes, Filipino Flash.
That was a shocker, man. we did not expect that. That's like Manny Pacquiao knocking out Spence in a couple weeks or whatever. What was your thought on Nonito coming back so strong, man?
I'm so happy for him, man. I've been a fan of Donaire for so long. And I'm happy, you know, that fight with the monster Inoue, that took a lot from him. And I thought that he was done after that. But he came back. He proved all the doubters wrong. He came back, won by a spectacular knockout. And I'm happy to see him. I want to see that fight with Inoue. I want to see that rematch. So I'm definitely happy for the Filipino Flash, Nonito Donaire.
Yeah. And so right away, we go right into the fighter you just mentioned. Nasty knockout. Nasty body shot. It was a body shot, right?
Body shot, yeah.
Double body shot, because he hit him in the body. He came back, and if he so let me ask you this: so you get hit in the body, right? You go down, boom. You're feeling this pain, right? Obviously, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It just takes a lot out of you, right? I mean, we saw with Ryan Garcia when he fought. What's his name?
Luke Campbell. Yeah,
Campbell couldn't get up. Well, this fighter got up.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he expose that side of his body? Is that something that just happens naturally? Because if it's me, I'm like, I'm going to the other side. Like, I'm going to protect this.
Yeah.
So what happens at that moment?
It's tough. I mean, you could protect yourself. You could train to protect yourself from a certain punch. But it always seems like whichever fighter it is, the punch that they throw, which, you know, Trinidad with the big left hook, you know, people knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. Tyson with the uppercuts, you know, you can't really protect yourself. You could try to do but it's hard to protect yourself when, you know, at that level. It's like a jumper. Like, you know, it's like, I make the analogy, you know, it's like, or the comparison, Michael Jordan, you knew he was going to get the ball with 5, 3, 4 seconds left. Yeah. You know, you had to guard him. You had to push him this way or that way.
Yeah.
But guess what happens? He was still going to shoot the jumper and most likely make it on you. And so
that fadeaway where you know it was coming is just
exactly. Exactly. So it's like that in boxing, too. You know, you could try to protect yourself from those body shots. And now it kept working him. He saw him, you know, folding under pressure, and it just your mind goes into survival mode. And in reality, you just probably want to get out of there before, you know, before it gets worse.
Yeah,
so it was just a matter of time.
You say he's shown to be a dominant fighter.
He is. I think he's top 3 pound for pound.
Wow.
I mean, it's debatable, but he's been beating everybody in that fashion. The only one that he didn't beat in that fashion was Donaire, but he hurt Donaire many times in that fight.
Yeah.
And he could have got him out of there, but Donaire was naturally bigger than him. I keep an eye on Inoue. He's they call him the monster for a reason.
yeah. All right. So now this to me was weird, bro. This was weird. I didn't even know this fight was going on. They titled it something Kings or Tribute to the Kings. And you had Chavez Jr., which back in the day when I seen Chavez Jr., like before, like his first 40 fights, because I think he got like 53 fights or something. 53 wins. He got like 52 wins. Yeah. The junior, Chavez Jr. And I'm in like, yo, this dude's going to be like his dad. Like he was so dominant. And of course, you know, in the beginning of a career of a boxer, a lot of times they fight guys that are journeymen or they fight guys that are not at their level. And they kind of like look like they're this magnificent specimen. And then obviously the aura of his dad, right? So anyhow, long story short, we know what happened with Chavez Jr. It is what it is. But then he fights Silva.
Man.
What do you
that was surprising. That came out of the blue, right? Silva, MMA guy, you know, retired, jumps into boxing. It seems like everybody's doing it nowadays, right?
I'm trying to make money, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I
but all that talk, know. Real quick, before you say anything, all that talk yeah. about boxing is dead, but everybody wants to come to
exactly.
boxing.
Exactly,
come on, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, he makes that jump to boxing, Silva, and he beats this, you know, former world champ, you know, and Chavez Jr., you know, and you know what, man, I say like this, man, Chavez Jr. had us all fooled, man. We thought this guy was going to be, you know, the future of boxing and
for a long time
and make these legendary fights. I remember when he fought Maravilla Martinez and that legendary fight where Martinez was destroying him. And then in the 12th round, he came and hurt Martinez. And we thought that you know, he was going to win, like when his dad beat Meldrick Taylor, you know, with that
late. That was his downfall. That was the beginning.
I think, you know, I can't speak to that, but I think that it's just, you know, the life outside boxing.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, influences, bad influences. And I think, you know, a lot of people say that he's lazy, you know, that he was lazy. I think he got kicked out of the wild card gym. Freddie Roach kicked him out because... Wow. Yeah, because he wasn't coming to practice, he wasn't training. So yeah, I think life outside of boxing was tough, you know, was tough for him. So I think that got in the way. And you see him now losing to this almost 50-year-old Anderson Silva. You know, I was and you know what? And you know what? And I saw that he didn't even make the weight for that fight. That he thought it was another weight. You know, it was signed in the contract. How can he do that? But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it was still entertaining. I saw Silva like calling him to the corner. I'm like, yo, this is really working on. So, but Silva's a fighter. He even said it. He's like, I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever, I'm a fighter. And then a couple times he raised his leg. I was like, all day about to kick. Like, he's about to kick this dude. I was like, don't kick him. So that was interesting. Another young fighter that a lot of people are now saying is overrated, Shakur Stevenson, his performance in his last fight. And what I had told folks is that this guy only got like 16 fights. Like most pros, in my, you know, what I've noticed is that, you know, after the 20th fight, you kind of know where this guy's at, you know. But what is your thought on Stevenson, the decision versus Nakatila, whoever that guy is?
I think it was good. I think it was, you know, I think he just keeps proving that he has the skills to become a world champ. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's a real deal. I mean, I think he still has a few fights to really show that, you know, he's that guy. But, yeah, you know, he was a decorated amateur. A couple of the guys here in Allentown Boxing Gym or years ago fought him in the amateurs.
Yeah.
I think he's good. I think he still has a little bit to go. But I think, you know, for him to grab a few more titles, then we could really talk about if, you know, him being top three.
Yeah.
Top two guy.
Yeah. On that note, what's up with Ryan Garcia, bro?
Ryan Garcia, man.
What's really going on with Ryan Garcia? You see anything on social media? Anything? Like, is this guy just disappeared? What's going on?
I'm not sure what's going on with Ryan Garcia. I mean, he was hanging out with the Pauls, Paul brothers. Yeah.
He just beat Campbell.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes it gets to you, man. Even success gets to you. So you see it all the time, especially in boxing. I just hope that whatever he's going through, you know, he's able to overcome. That way we could actually watch him box.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know he had mentioned fighting Pacquiao. I was excited. I was like, oh, damn, that would be interesting. I don't think he could beat Pacquiao, but.
It's interesting. You know, he wanted to challenge himself.
Yeah,
but I don't know what happened. You know, there's a pause. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and again, with all due respect, you know, these dudes, they're humans too. They got issues. You know, not saying that he does. We don't know. Maybe he just wanted to take a break.
Maybe it's that simple. Yeah. Maybe he just wants to take a break. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. But that was fun. That was a fun fight to watch. That body shot was.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
That was devastating, man. He. I didn't think he was going to recover from that knockdown.
Yeah.
And. But yeah, he came back like a true champ and got him out of there with a body shot.
So we had some funny fights.
Yeah.
Yes. Funny fights. Right behind me is what I had on. I was talking to boxing with another one of my friends, Gio Garcia. Shout out to Gio, man, doing a lot of great things. But we were talking about boxing. We were talking about this fight. And what's up with this fight? I didn't really understand. I know this. It was like watching Rocky versus the wrestler. Remember the wrestler? Thunderlips. Thunderlips. I'll think that. Yeah. What do you think, man? You think Mayweather didn't even train? I don't think he trained like he would, obviously.
I think he stays in the gym, not like before, but I still think he stays in the gym. And a lot of people don't understand, man, that it was a weight difference, you know. Yeah. It was like 50 pounds, 40 to 50 pounds. Ridiculous. And it's hard. It's really hard to get somebody out of there when they come to survive and they're that much bigger than you, you know? So,
well, he was grabbing them too. Every, he was grabbing them.
Yeah. That all wears. But you know what? People forget it was only 8 rounds. If it was 12 rounds, I think he would have got him out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, just the awkwardness, you know, the awkwardness of it's like if I went to go fight a professional, you know, I'm going to do some awkward things in there. And we've all watched boxing. You know who's an amateur, who's a pro, and who's a person that just trains in boxing, right? And not saying that, you know, obviously Jake and Logan, they could fight. You could see they could fight. But that awkwardness, I could imagine, is kind of troublesome, you know?
Quick thing on boxing people that don't really have the skills to box. Mm-hmm. They're the hardest people to hurt, and they're the hardest people to box. Again, I'll make the comparison. You know, it in basketball, if you're playing against a lot of people that are wild and hacking you and pushing you. You know, it's kind of hard to show, you know, what you're capable of, you know, or show your skills. So it's like that in boxing too, man. It was tough for Mayweather, but hey, man, he got out of there with the whole bank. So
it was about money. Yeah, no doubt. And you could see it when he was wailing out on him while it just wailing on him. You could see those punches. They obviously weren't doing anything. It was like he was just doing this guerrilla style punching, whatever. And I've noticed that too. Like when I sparred folks in the military, just, you know, put the headgear on, we were bored, we were out to sea, whatever. You could tell the folks that didn't really even have like the understanding or watch boxing or see it. This is just sparring. We're just tapping each other. I tap you, boom, boom, boom. Now you work me, boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? And then we just work each other. We flow off each other. It's just sparring, you know?
Right.
Obviously, when you get to the pro level, yeah, there's going to be some sparring that turn into kind of like a little fight, you know? They're not going to go 110%. But yeah, so you're right, man. It's just tough to fight folks like that. And then it's just crazy. Jumping into another crazy fight with Jake Paul and Askren, what was Askren thinking?
Oh man, I think Askren. I think he really believed that he was going to go in there and maybe grapple a little, hold mm-hmm. him in, show him that, you know, show him his strength inside. But man, boxing is completely different, man. And you see that too. You see that if you go to like a local boxing gym and you see, not to speak bad on MMA fighters, because there's a lot of great strikers, a lot of good MMA fighters
in their sport. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
They're, Yeah, and they could box. They also have the boxing skill as well. But most of the time, you'll see them come in and try to hold, and you know, the boxer will just move and counter and just wait for the right shot. And that's exactly what Jake Paul did. Yeah. You know, he just hit him with a one hitter quitter. Now that's what it was.
Well, I think they stopped it too early. I think he should have just gave him a standing eight count and just let at least give him another. It still would have been the same.
Yeah, for the fans, right? For fans.
Yeah. I mean, give me a little bit more. Like, you know what I'm saying? We pay money for this this boxing match. Like, I mean, no offense. I was looking forward to the fight. And then when you start looking at the actual, you know, you got people dancing for 35 minutes. Like, I don't know what they was. Yeah. It's just crazy. It was crazy. But anyhow, now he's fighting. He's going to actually fight someone that actually can throw hands, though, with Tyron Woodley. So what happens if he beats Tyron Woodley, though? What if he knocks him out?
Well, if he knocks him out, you know what? I got to give it to him. Tyron Woodley has hands, man. Do I think that he has the possibility that it's possible for him to go in and dominate Jake Paul? I don't think so. I think it might be competitive, but it all depends, you know, if they both come out wanting to win, you know, I think it'll be an actual good fight, you know? But I think Jake Paul's going to take it. I know. I like Tyron Woodley, but I think Jake Paul is in there training
with pros,
with boxers.
Yes. He's fighting professionals. Know?
Right. Training a few times a day, you know. I think Jake might take it, man.
Yeah. And that's what I tell folks, man. I'm like, these guys have the money to be in these gyms, to get this professional training from these professional coaches, and they're athletic and they're similar to what I do. Like, I've never been trained. If you see me hitting the bag, you probably be like, okay, that guy trains a little bit. I mean, from amateur perspective, not a professional perspective. There's many, you know, but
a casual fan will see you and be like, oh, this guy, you know.
Yeah. And I don't have a shame. I don't have to lie to nobody. I've never been trained. This is what I do to release stress. And I love boxing. My dad was a boxer. My brother was a boxer. I have family members that were boxers. My uncles were boxers. So that's really huge in my family. But these guys are in there paying good money to top tier trainers, and they're sparring top tier professionals. So when you're doing that on a daily and you're hungry to do this, man, you know, and you have the skill set. Like, it's like you had mentioned earlier, the analogy with basketball. It's like you take someone who's never picked up a basketball, and all of a sudden, like, they play a couple times and they're starting to get it. You're like, oh, that dude's naturally good, right? As opposed to someone who would never be good at basketball. You could just tell they're just not good. It's not their thing. The coordination's not there. Same thing with boxing. You could, someone like myself, never been trained, but if you get me in the gym, boom, I feel that I kind of have the concept of the flow, taking my time, you know, fainting a little bit, doing all that stuff, and then obviously hitting it. And of course, I got natural power. So
right. I can vouch for that.
Train power, baby. Check out my videos. Let's go. Now, I will tell you this: that bag doesn't hit back. So I'm gonna go. All right. On that note, we're gonna talk about some fights coming up real quick. I know we're gonna end this about 20 minutes, but Haney versus Linares, man, what did you think about that?
I think it was a great test for Haney, and he did what he had to do. You know, he showed composure after getting stunned by Linares. Mm-hmm. He got the experience in with the 12 rounds. I think the future is bright for Haney. I think he's gonna be really good world champion in the next few years. I think it was good. I think it was good for Haney. Linares is on his way out, but Haney had to take that. Nobody wanted to fight, you know, so it was a good fight. It was a good fight for Haney. Shout out to Haney. He did his thing.
Did you see that somebody was talking something bad? Like they were talking about Linares don't have a heart. Like he had him. He had him. Like he rocked him and then he didn't finish him or something. Yeah. Like
You know, like the casual fan will say, you know, I'm not knocking the casual fan because I know there's a lot of casual fans out there. Casual, I say fans that, you know, don't really follow boxing.
Because he did. He did rock him, though. He did rock him.
He rocked him. You know, he stunned him. Yeah. But sometimes you have to have it in you to finish somebody. And do we know Linares to be that type of fighter? He didn't do that with Lomachenko. You know, he didn't do it with other guys. So, you know, with Luke Campbell as well. So, I think Haney did what he had to do. Hold him when he was hurt. So, good fight for Haney.
Yeah. Good pro rounds. Again, we mention it all the time. Them pro rounds, man. You can't. It's like that. What's his name? I forgot his name. Damn, I feel bad. He's a new guy. He's a new kid that keeps knocking people out in the first round.
Berlanga?
Yes. Yeah. My bad to that dude. That guy, he got some power.
Puerto Rico, New York.
He needs those pro rounds, man, because you're going to get to a point where you're going to get these guys that you ain't going to take them out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He got a couple good fights. All right, so let's do this, man. Future fight predictions right now. Social Connected 360. We're excited to be here, man. This is what we're about. So Loma versus Nakatani. This is a comeback fight for Loma. I don't know, man.
I think Lomachenko's gonna come in and actually get him out of there. I think he's gonna either TKO him or KO him. I think that's what Lomachenko's gonna do. He wants that fight. He wants that rematch with Lopez. So
yeah. You think Lomachenko gives him the fight after not making one?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but I hope so. Let's wish and pray that we get that fight.
To the boxing gods, let's go. Come on, man. The boxing gods did give us a fight that's coming up, the heavyweight fight. But real quick, Davis versus Barrios, he's going up in weight.
Oh, yeah, tough fight. This guy's good, you know. He's good, but I give it to Davis. You know, he has more power, has a better team behind him. I think Davis takes it.
Nice. So those fights are on June 26th. The Loma fights, ESPN Plus. Obviously, these fights start around 9, 10 o'clock. And then Showtime pay-per-view for Davis and Mario versus Mario. I got Davis winning. I got Loma winning. We'll see what happens. So now we had the brother, right? This is the brother, Jermell Charlo versus Brian Castano on July 17th.
Jermell Charlo, either TKO or KO. He's on his rise. He's in his prime. So I got Charlo winning by stoppage.
I got you. I got him winning too. I mean, these twin brothers, man, they come in shape. They're training. They got a facility of their own. They're probably waking up in the morning, training a couple times a day. They're hungry to be world champ. They're trying to make that Canelo money, you know. We'll see what happens, man.
Lions only.
What's that? What was
Lion, that? Lions only.
yeah. They're cool characters, I guess. All right. So this is the fight that was controversial, of course. You know, now this is the third bout. The courts had to get involved. What's your thoughts, man? There's some shady stuff going on with these videos and these pictures we're seeing about Fury. Surfacing up with these gloves. What's up with Fury versus Wilder?
I think Wilder is in that state of mind. I think he really thinks that Fury cheated in that bout, in that second bout. I think Wilder is in that state of mind to come in and KO Fury. So
yeah, I think
I have Wilder in this one.
Yeah, I gotta say, Wilder's not playing around. He got his coach. His coach got him squared away. You know, again, you still see the videos. You see the flaws. I mean, he's throwing punches like me, you know, these long, these long hooks, these long uppercuts. He's coming all the way from here. You know, he's not really just keeping it short and hitting them short shots like Tyson. You know what I mean? But he's got that nasty power, bro.
That freaky power, man. And it comes every, I don't know how, you know, so often, you know, with these boxers, he has that legendary knockout power. So
if they could teach him how to feint and like just, you know, doom, 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 step back, you know, and just work, work, bump, 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 step back and conserve some of that energy, man, he would be so, he'll be even more dangerous. But I got Wilder on that as well. But who knows? That's July 24th on Showtime. All right. Now, this is a fight that I was looking forward to. I wanted to see this fight. I wanted to see my man Cambosos talking all that smack from Australia. He's from Australia, right? So he was coming in talking. Yo, he got the best pre-fight, in my opinion. Trash talking.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
He does.
Yeah, he talks
like he's hyping it up. I think he was gonna, you know, I still think that Teofimo, you know, I think he's better, but I think that Cambosos had that fire burning in him where he wants to win, you know. So yeah, there were some talks, man. No knock to Teofimo. I hope he gets better with the COVID-19 thing. But they were saying that he wasn't making that weight. You know, he was close to not making that weight. So
I heard another rumor though.
Yeah,
I heard Tank Davis was talking smack. He was like, he ain't selling no tickets.
That's right.
Wasn't selling no tickets. So they can't make this stuff up. Come on, man. You're not gonna say the man is sick with COVID-19.
Yeah.
At least you make something else up, like he sprained his ankle or something.
Yeah.
Davis was talking smack about not selling tickets or whatnot.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully we get to see that fight, you know. No doubt.
Trailer pay-per-view, August 14th, Tell versus Cambosos, man. I'm looking forward to that. You can come to my house, by the way. You know, we can make it happen. Nonito Donaire. This guy, does he have like a twin brother or something? What is going on here? My man is really either trying to make money or what is going on here? Nonito Donaire versus Casimiro, August 14th on Showtime. Come on, man. I'm happy about it. You know, he just probably want to have a consecutive victories.
Yeah. I have Donaire winning that fight. You know, he's back. You know, the fire's burning as well. You know, feels rejuvenated. I think he wins by KO.
Yeah. I see it. All right. So the next two fights, I'm looking forward to it because I haven't seen both of these fighters in a while. The two fighters are in two different fights, but Manny versus Spence, I think it's going to be the fight of the year as far as anticipation, in my opinion.
Yes.
What do you think, bro? Don't sleep on Manny.
Listen, my heart is with Manny Pacquiao, you know, but my mind is with Spence, you know, the younger line, you know. I think that it's going to be competitive. I just hope that Manny, you know, it's not father time for Manny. You know, I hope that if he boxes like he boxed against Keith Thurman, Spence might be in trouble. I can't wait to watch it.
Quick question, who's a bigger Manny fan, you or your brother Jose?
I think Jose is a bigger he buys his t-shirts and all that stuff.
He probably got a mullet right now. He's probably at the gym right now working out. You got his little mullet getting all big. I miss that guy. He used to love Manny. When we used to talk smack, we was like, Mayweather's gonna destroy him. Mayweather, man. Yeah, he could be mad and stuff, but yeah, miss that guy. Love you, Jose. I got Spence winning that fight, man. I just don't think Manny, I don't think he's gonna be able to deal with that youth and that strength and just right. It's just not, right. I mean, Spence coming off a big victory. He's got time to train. This is going to be his big money fight. Obviously, I want to see Spence versus, you know, who, but that fight might never happen. I don't know.
Terrence Bud Crawford.
Yeah, that fight might not happen, man.
Yeah, no. It's a shame because there's these two superstars at their peak, at their prime, and we can't see it, man, you know, because of promoters. It's a shame.
It's such a different era, man. Back in the day, they would have had three fights already. You know what I'm saying? They would have had a trilogy, like, if we would have had
the 70s, the 80s. Whitaker
again, man. De La Hoya. But it is what it is. I got Spence winning that fight. And of course, I saw August 21st on Fox pay-per-view. You can come to my house. I'll go to your house, whatever.
All right.
Good. All right. So this is my man who I think is probably the most dangerous fighter for Canelo, Benavidez, in my opinion. I don't even know how to say the man's last name, Uzatakawi or something.
Uzkategi. Yeah.
What's up with him? Who is that?
He's a pretty good boxer. You know, he's durable. I think Benavidez takes it and it possibly stops him. But you know, he has to take these fights, you know, to fight that Canelo fight, or Caleb Plant or any of those guys at 168. I think Benavidez wins unanimous or even stops them.
So at 168, because to me, that's the most, obviously Canelo is in there, right? Mm-hmm. And he's, in my opinion right now, I don't care what anybody says, he's pound for pound right now for me. Just because he's the big ball, he's taking, and that's the thing. A lot of people look at his record; they talk smack, but the dude has fought really good fighters, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure.
Where do you rank the top three?
Top three, pound for pound?
No, 168.
Like 168.
Right up or down? Up or down?
So Canelo's number one.
Yeah.
Canelo's number one for sure. And I'd have to put either Caleb Plant or Benavidez right there. It doesn't really matter after Canelo.
Grande, you saw what happened. He says, "Get that out of here."
Yeah. Well, he's a horrible fighter.
You haven't fought nobody.
Yeah. Canelo says. he wants to go up to 168 and fight, or he wants Canelo to come down to 160.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's an awkward fighter, southpaw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, hard to hit. That'd be a good fight.
Canelo knock that dude out. He better be careful what he's asking for. He's gonna be like Mr. T. They did like a little parody on Mr. T, like he was calling out Rocky. You ain't so bad. That's what I was gonna say to him. You ain't so bad. Come on, you ain't so bad. On that note,
I'd love to see that fight.
On that note, Canelo is gonna fight Plant, right? Is that coming up?
Yeah. Canelo. Well, I don't think there's a date. I don't think there's a date, but I think that's the mandatory fight. So by one of the commissions. But yeah, I think that's gonna be an easy fight for Canelo.
Yeah.
You know, Caleb Plant has skills, but he doesn't have the power. You know, he doesn't have the power to deal with Canelo, and I think that's the X factor in the fight.
Yeah, we didn't even recap Canelo's fight. He broke that dude's face.
Yeah, Billy Joe Saunders, man. Yeah, that was a good fight, man. Billy Joe Saunders boxing him. You know, stealing rounds here and there, but it was all a matter of time before caught him.
Not him with a good one. You could tell as soon as he hit him, it was like,
Yeah, his eyes swelled right away. I haven't even heard an interview with Billy Joe Saunders. Have you heard from him since the fight?
I haven't heard anything. I'll look it up later. I'm pretty sure there's something on YouTube, but I haven't seen anything that popped up, you know? And I feel bad. I like him. I like his style. I think he could come back, but when you have a facial injury like that, I mean, you would know better than me. But that's hard to come back from, man.
You could see, you saw that in Lucas Matisse, and Kel Brook.
Even
Antonio Margarito. You know, broken orbitals, man. It's hard to recover from that. So, I hope he recovers, man. I'd like to see him box again someday.
Yeah. Well, folks, that Benavidez fight is going to come out August 28th on Showtime. A lot of good fights coming up, man. I'm excited about this. I love boxing, and I wanted to bring that to SC360 because I think it's an important part of my life, our life. So we are, listen, my friends that are watching this, we're going to have in studio before or after fights, preferably both, depending how big the fight is, and we're going to do this live. All right, so we're going to set everything up. My co-host, Irving Torres, man. What was your nickname in boxing? Did you have a nickname?
Your dad named me Hurricane.
Oh, Huracan. El Huracan. Yeah. All right, yeah. Folks. So my co-host, Irving Huracan Torres. We're gonna do some live episodes, man. And we're going to take some of your questions, man. It's always good to include all of you, obviously. Doing live is wonderful. We have the capability in studio. So we're going to set up the two mics, two headphones. We're going to go at it, man, for maybe like 30, 40 minutes. Talk about some of the fights that are coming up, maybe before and after. All right. So, but I got one more question before we leave, and we give another shout out to my sponsor, PowerUpNutritionOnline.com. So one piece of advice you will give to Irving Hurricane Torres at 19, if you could, when it comes to boxing?
That's a good question. I'd say stick to your craft, find yourself a good trainer, a trainer that you could trust, believe in yourself, and walk straight in that path. And you could accomplish whatever your dream is.
Wonderful, man. Yeah, I think that's important, man. You know, I think a lot of times we see a lot of good boxers, a lot of good fighters, or even athletes. They're so good. They got so much talent, and they walk off that straight narrow, man. And sometimes they get really good, like you said, good coaches, good trainers. And they stay on that road, and they have good amateur careers, or they have good pro careers, or they have good boxing, just boxing life in general, being in the gym, helping other kids. And sometimes we see them get off track and maybe commit crimes or become victims of crimes and things like that. And then we never get to see the true greatness of what they could have been in that ring. So that's great advice, man. Heard it here from Hurricane, Mr. Hurricane, my co-host. Let's go, baby. Let's go. All right. So I have one more shout out to PowerUpNutritionOnline.com, man. Our sponsor for the show. This episode obviously was brought to you by them. We're excited. We're going to have more episodes like this. We're going to go live. That's the end of our episode. Like I always say, thank you so much, Irving, for being here, man. I appreciate you. We're going to get this show up before this weekend because obviously the fights are coming up. But I want to say thank you, man, from the bottom of my heart, man. It's an honor to have you on here with me, man. All right.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah, appreciate. No doubt. No doubt. Appreciate you. And like I always say, stay connected.